Well, it was an honor to know Melva, and she loved the word proclaimed. She loved to hear preaching. She loved the word of God, and that was evident. She had a hunger for God's word that was one of the many confirmations of life inside of her. Believers who love the Lord want more of him, and oftentimes that hunger for the word is one of the first signs of life in a new believer. And so I was thinking about this, and it was the just a few days before she passed away. Jenny and I were with her, and at that point, she wasn't talking a ton. It was hard for her to get words out. But we asked her, Melva, do you have a favorite verse or a favorite chapter in the Bible? And I was so excited that very clearly she said Psalm 91. Psalm 90, it was right there, Psalm 91. So we wrote it down, and I spent some time studying through that psalm, thinking about her life and her story. And I want to share that with you here today, just a few thoughts from Psalm 91 and some other passages that connect with it. I titled this, My Father is My Refuge. My Father is my refuge. And I want to begin by reading the first couple verses of this psalm, and then I want to kind of tell the story a bit as to why I think Psalm 91 meant so much to her. Psalm 91 begins with this, She who dwells, you could say, in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. The shadow there is shelter. The safe place, as it were. And then the psalmist says, I will say to the Lord, the you are is assumed here, you are my refuge, my fortress, my God in whom I trust. These are precious words from the psalmist, and these words captured Melva's heart. They also told her story. That's what struck me as I understood these words and thought about her. Melva, as you heard Ken share, had a really difficult childhood. Her father, earthly father that is, was anything but a shelter, a refuge. In fact, there were a number of times where she would tell the story, he would come home in a drunken rage, and she would lead her siblings out a window to find safety from him. There were times where his violence would overflow. Even a time where they were driving away as a family to try to get away from him, and he shot at their car as they drove off. This was a violent man, and it led to some really horrible experiences she had as a young lady. Extreme poverty, partly because he would gamble away his earnings rather than care for and provide for his family. She went through one summer, one entire school year, and she wore the same dress to school every day. She would pick dandelion leaves out of the neighbor's yards on the way home from school to make dandelion soup so that there was something flavorful to consume. And we're talking extreme scenario here. The kinds of things that a little girl shouldn't have to go through. That defined her younger years. Most of us in this room don't have that kind of story to tell. But one of the things that struck me is how she knew how broken the world was. She had a very early education in the brokenness of this world. No one had to train her or teach her about what sin was, for example. She understood it very keenly. It was a difficult world she lived in. And friends, we know that as well. We wouldn't take long for us to go through this room to hear some horror stories as well. We live in a broken world. Turn on the news and watch for less than a minute and you'll find the same. It just every day confronts us. Brokenness all around. It's out there, but it's also in here. We're a broken people. We live in a broken world. This world is not what it ought to be, and it just harkens back to what is wrong, what happened. God created, and what he made was good. It reminds us of what happened in Genesis 3. There was rebellion. There was sin. Adam and Eve rebelled against God. They disobeyed his good command. And instantly the world was plunged into darkness and sin. Their sin shattered the peace that God made and intended for us to know. And our sin does the same, my friends. All have sinned. It wasn't just Melva's dad who was a sinner. He was a sinner, right? Not everybody commits the same sins. But all of us, including everyone here in this room, we are all of us sinners. We all fall short of the glory of God. There's no one here who is perfect. We have all sinned. The reality is that we're also here because Melva was a sinner. We die because we're sinners. That's why death is part of our existence. We are under the judgment of God. We die because of sin. And all of us will die because all of us are sinners. We have a significant problem to face. Sometimes we think about how we have been sinned against, and no doubt Melva knew that very keenly. She knew that by experience, and the echo of that was very real for her. But Melva also was aware that she was a perpetrator of sin. She had sinned. Now, not in the same ways that her dad maybe had sinned against her, but she had sinned both against others and chiefly and most concerning against God himself. Our sin is most offensive because it's a rebellion against God. We are both victims and we are perpetrators. We live in a broken world. We are broken people. We are also rebels, perpetrators of sin, which means that we are under the judgment of God. And apart from something incredibly powerful outside of ourselves, we will be judged in our sins. There is a place where sinners go by the hand of God. It is called hell. It's real and it's horrible, but it's just. And his righteousness is poured out in wrath on sinners who have railed against him and disobeyed him. That's the bad news. Listen to how Ephesians 2 says it. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom it wasn't just Melva's dad, but we all once walked. We once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of our body. And the body and the mind. We were by nature children of wrath. Now, you don't have to ask a first grade teacher if sin is a basic instinct, right? She saw this. You don't have to teach children how to be selfish, how to lie, how to cheat or steal. It's in us. Why? Because we're natural born sinners. We are children of the fall. By nature, children of wrath like the rest of mankind, which means that's the bad news, friends. But I've got really good news. There's more to the story. And this is one of the reasons why we here today can smile in the face of death. Listen to what God did for Melva. But God, being rich in mercy, why? Because of the great love with which he loved us. Even when we were dead in our trespasses and sins, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, which means you didn't earn it. You didn't do it. You didn't deserve it. You've been given something from God, completely undeserved. Now listen to these words. He raised us up, the Father raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Now there's a repeating phrase I want you to see in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. How is the love of God demonstrated? How is it that we come into this love? All of it goes through Jesus Christ. It meets us there. It is the love of God that captured Melva's heart at a young age. The story is told that there was a church down the road, and Melva met some people from that church, and they invited her, and she went. I don't think her parents were taking her, right? She would just make the hike down there, and those folks loved her, and they taught her about the Lord, and she was saved by the grace of God. Think of the joy of that moment when she was saved from her sins and experienced the love of her true father. A love that she had never known on this earth. Not like that. It was the love of a heavenly father who was kind and just abundant in his mercy and unending in his love. And he just pulled her in and showed her his love through Jesus Christ. God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He's not saying from up in glory, listen, clean yourselves up, and then you can come to me. You get righteous, be good enough, and then I'll love you. That's not the love that he has for us. He says, I see the mess. I see the pain. I see the hurt. I see the brokenness, and I love you. That's her story. That's her story. For God so loved the world. What does love demonstrate? Look at the word so. How much did he love the world? He so loved the world that he gave his only son. That's how much he loved the world. He gave his only son, that is, to die on the cross, to pay for sins of all who would trust in him by faith. So that whoever believes in him, whoever believes in him. There's no requirement of you know, a certain life or experience or something like this. No, come. The invitation is open. Come. Come and trust him. Come know the love. You will not perish under the wrath of God and the fires of hell. But instead, you get God. You get eternal life with him. You get to live in the love of God forever. Death can't touch that. Suffering, cancer, that can't touch the love of God. You can't lose that which you have been given freely. It is truly an undeserved love, but it's also an unending love. Forever. Her experience of God's love will be full. Her father is her refuge. Now, I've known a lot of people over the years, and I've seen people who have gone through some really horrible things. They go dark. They get a chip on their shoulder. They become bitter, angry, volatile. They push people away. And if anyone had the right to do that, Melva did. She could have done that. We could be here and we could have heard very different stories told, right? What was the difference? What made the difference for Melva? Was she a self-made woman? Did she just decide one day, I'm not going to? No. She couldn't dig herself out of that pit. It was too much. Too much hurt, too much pain. She was changed by the love of God. She was literally made new by God. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, new has come. I will put in you a new heart, the prophet Ezekiel says, referencing the Lord's promise. I will take that heart of stone and I will replace it with a soft heart, and I will cause you to walk in my ways. What is that? The way of love. Melva was a shining example of the power of the gospel to change a person who could have very easily been bitter and angry and to make them kind and loving and gentle and generous. Her story was one that God changed from tragedy to testimony. And you know, if you spend any time with her, that's what she did. She was pointing. She was a teacher. She loved to point people to Jesus. She wanted people to know the love that she had experienced from Christ. And I guarantee you this, if she were here today, that's exactly what she would want me to be doing. She was very clear to be, so you know, she said, preach the gospel at my funeral. I want you to preach the gospel, the good news of God's love in Jesus Christ. We praise God for that. You have turned for me my mourning, King David says, into dancing. You have loosed the sackcloth and clothed me with gladness, that my glory may sing your praise and may not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. And today, I guarantee you, that's what she's doing. She is doing that today. God can do this. He saves sinners. He changes and transforms lives. And Melva's story is one of great, powerful transformation. The question then begs, do you know this love? Do you know the refuge of the Father's love through Jesus Christ? There is no greater love that you could ever experience. And let's just be really clear. We're not saying you have to somehow pull yourself up by the bootstraps and be good enough to come to him. That's never going to work, right? The people that he delights to set his love upon are those who are just honest. I'm a mess. I need you. I can't do it. I'm falling apart. I'm sick of the dark. I'm sick of my sin. Save me. Save me. Rescue me. Come to Jesus Christ, and you will know that love. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's Jesus. That's what he said. There's only one way to be saved. You can't be good enough. You can't earn it. You can't save yourself. Ephesians 1:7, I love this verse. In him, that is in Christ, in Jesus, we have redemption. How? Through his blood. He paid for all of the wrath that we deserve from God so that we can be forgiven. The forgiveness of our trespass according to the riches of his grace. How great is his grace? It's described here as riches. So turn and trust. Repent and believe. The greatest honor to Melva's life would be for you to turn to Jesus Christ. There is no greater joy. I guarantee you this. I knew her well. If your run in the dark would end today and you would turn to Jesus Christ and just say, save me, help me, be my Savior, be my Lord, she would be doing backflips in glory. That's the call today. The Heidelberg Catechism begins this way, and I like to end this sermon with this. What is your only comfort in life and in death? Here's the answer. This is what Melva would say. This is what those who are trusting in Jesus, who know this love, would say, and I long that everyone in this room would be able to say this by faith in Jesus Christ. Answer, that I am not my own, but I belong body and soul in life and in death to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Praise God today, because that was true of Melva. And that is why we rejoice today, even though we say goodbye and there are tears. We do not weep as those who have no hope, because she is alive in Jesus Christ, and her Father is her refuge today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, your love is overflowing. It is surprising. It is truly an amazing love that we don't deserve. I thank you for saving me. I didn't deserve it. You saved me from my sins. I thank you for saving Melva from her sins and from all of the offenses that she had experienced in her life. Lord, thank you for the rescue, the safe harbor of your love in Jesus Christ. I pray, O Lord, that everyone here would reckon with you today. I pray that there would be a stirring of your Holy Spirit in every heart here. Oh, by your grace, Lord, shine and show favor here today. Bring salvation through Jesus Christ as Savior, as Lord, and as treasure forever. We give you praise and thanks for Melva's life. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.